Gospel according to John, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me, and I in them, bear much fruit, because nothing apart from me, you can do nothing. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch that withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my word abides in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Are the cookies any good? Yeah, okay, good. Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from the triune God. Amen. Before I officially start my message, I want you to notice something that may have you pondering. Did you notice in the text that even Jesus is pruned? That even some of his things are pruned away from him, that God is cutting some of his branches away too. There's something to ponder. So, I don't know the last time you have heard this Bible passage, this text, probably 3 years ago, since it comes up every 3 years. Or maybe, if we were a much smaller group, and I know you guys would love this idea, I would have asked you to tell me this story. Because the truth is, many of these stories, we hear them, but we remember them differently. Or that we emphasize things different. And there is a sermon about that sometime in the future. But for me, I immediately saw this text and went, oh, not this one. Because I have a memory of this text. This text is one that always left me feeling on the edge. It made me nervous, made me worried. Like one wrong move, and I would be cut and thrown into the fire. Sure, this text has beautiful language of the gift of pruning, but then we get to, whoever does not abide in me, and I start to worry. The truth is, how do we know if we abide enough? I have to wonder, is when Jesus talks about abiding in us and us abiding in Jesus, is that like a light switch that is on or off? We either are or we're not? Or is it more like a dimmer switch? So that maybe Jesus abides in us a small amount at some times, but a larger amount at others, depending on what we allow. There's stuff, if you haven't known, that's happening in the world. And there are days when I begin to question, like, where is God? Is this my faith? Is it real? Is it enough? And then I read the passage, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done. And the truth is, there has been some major wishes that I have asked for that, for me, haven't been done. Maybe I'm different. Maybe, but maybe you also have had that going on. It goes back to the wonder of, is there enough Jesus in me? If Jesus actually abides in me, am I the only one who has ever thought that? In the hymn, Lord Jesus, You Shall Be My Song, which is hymn number 808 in the Cranberry Hymnal, it's one of those hymns that many of us just automatically know the hymn number. There is this line, I fear in the dark and the doubt of my journey. Because what is God's reaction to my journey, good or bad? When will God be done with me and cut me off? I mean, I think it's a legit question that we worry about, we may ask. Even pastors can ask that occasionally. This text today has been used to point fingers at or throw a lot of judgment at other people over the years. In fact, I know I have heard way too many sermons on this text being about judgment. Do this or else. But the writer of John doesn't have that intent. This isn't a text of judgment. This is actually a very straightforward text. It's about truth. And those in rural communities, those in farming communities, understand it. When a living thing is cut away from its source of life, what happens? What happens? It dies, doesn't it? The minute you cut the beautiful rose from its stem, it begins the process of dying. And to cut a branch off of a tree causes that branch to die. And if we are separated from God, our faith can begin to die. This does not mean that God is standing on the sideline with a pruning shears getting ready to cut us off. No. Because cutting us off is not something God ever wants. God is not cutting us off with God. The pruning that God does is something more within the self. We all have things in us that need to be pruned away. Things that are pulling us from God and what God wants for the world. It's that branch deep within us that debates over helping a homeless person. Because, well, if they just worked a little harder, Smith. It's that branch within us that looks at a woman and believes they are not able to do the same job as a man. Snip. And every woman in here is going, snip. That refuses to listen to a woman because they don't know anything about fill in the blank, snip. Inside me right now, there is the resentment of women being treated like that. Though women do deserve to resent that. It's the branch that in us that believes that the shooting of an unarmed black man is because they just didn't listen to the cops. Snip. That if they just didn't run away, snip. It's the branch that assumes that being gay is a choice, snip. It's a brand. branch that criticizes others. Because it takes the focus on our flaws. Takes the focus off of our flaws, Snip. It's the branch that is quick to look the other way. Pretend it's not happening when someone around us is being hurt. Snip. God is continually pruning our wrongs, even as the branches seem to grow back twice as fast. Has anybody ever had that when they've pruned? Or pulled a weed or two? All of this is because God has not given up on you or me. God has not given up on the world. And that brings my heart to a place of relief. Because you and I will never be able to have a level 10 faith. Never be able to fully follow Jesus' command to love one another. Why is it that we have to be reminded of that? Never be able to let Jesus take over our whole selves, to fully abide in us, because we can't. But Jesus can. That's why 5 weeks ago, we stood before an ugly cross and we recognized what God's love looked like, because it's not all chocolate chip cookies. We watched Weston being washed, or maybe Weston washing us in the baptismal waters. And we know that through his whole life, his ups and downs, and even the pruning that will happen with him, God's got him. It's how we can look at the ugliness of the world and know that there is something much bigger. Because God is more than our brokenness. When I quoted hymn 808, "Lord Jesus, you shall be my song," I stopped the end of that first phrase. I stopped before the good news could be proclaimed and the love of God shown. The whole verse goes like this. I fear in the dark and the doubt of my journey, but courage will come with the sound of your steps by my side, and with all of the family saved by your love, we'll sing to the dawn at the end of our journey. God's got this. Thanks be to God. Amen.